The First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs made a habit out of recording their services and then uploading them to YouTube. And that means there was a camera rolling when Devin Kelly walked into the church on November 5th, walked down the pews, and shot people, including children, one after another after another. The FBI has that video, but it hasn't yet released it, and it brings up a familiar debate in a sometimes violent media age America. Should the public see those images? Coming up, we hear from two experts with different ideas.
I am struggling. I spent a lot of my career working on ideas about freedom of information, and I'm sort of coming around to a different place where the concerns for me are outweighing some of the benefits of airing videos like this.
That's Sahara Byrne of Cornell University. She thinks these videos probably shouldn't be released. And also Matthew Grizzard of the University of Buffalo, who says the potential benefits of releasing the footage likely outweighs the risks.
It's not that there aren't costs associated with releasing this footage. It's just that there might also be costs associated with not releasing it.
And you've had a lot to say.
My name is Sharon. I'm calling from Somerville, South Carolina. I think it's the only thing that's going to get people to realize how much damage assault rifles can inflict on people and society as a whole. We need to do something about our gun laws.
Do you think the public should be able to see videos of mass shootings? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway. Let's continue our discussion now with Matthew Grizzard, Assistant Professor of Communications at the University of Buffalo, and Sahara Byrne, Associate Professor of Media Communication at Cornell University.
My concerns are, you know, from a scientific perspective, I think three of the sort of longstanding theories of media violence have to do with how we learn about behaviors that are possible to enact. We kind of prime ideas about aggression, and we become desensitized, or we don't feel as many physiological reactions that would lead us to kind of avoid some of those behaviors. And along with that is the, I think, anxiety-provoking element. Particularly, I study youth, and so what happens to youth who might see these kinds of videos. And finally, the last thing is the celebritizing, potentially, of behaviors like this.
Copycat reactions and things like that.
Yes, copycat reactions, the desire to be in the spotlight, given some of the mental health issues that I think we all agree come along with some behaviors like this, becoming numb to it, but also this sort of less behavioral idea of just people being afraid to enter a room with other people because this is the type of situation, a concert, a church, a mall, that we have been seeing so many times situations like this occur in.
Matthew, those concerns that Sahara is voicing there, desensitization, even traumatization, copycats, and celebritization of this type of violence, does the research bear out those problems as opposed to maybe the benefits of people seeing the videos?
Well, I think with this type of footage, you're less likely to see the types of imitation and priming just due to the fact that there would be such negative consequences that you would see and feel associated with it.
So talk a little bit more about the research that you've done and that we do have. You've shown people videos of terrorists and some really, really awful things, but studied how they react based on how much they see.
Exactly. We manipulated a news footage clip in a laboratory experiment where we told people about a massacre that was conducted by ISIS. We showed them some of it, but edited out the worst of the violence. And then finally, we showed the unedited clip, and we found that when people see the unedited clip, they feel higher levels of anger and disgust. And those responses motivate desires for change.
Desires for change to get up from in front of the TV and maybe do something about it?
Basically, motivations for humanitarian aid to aid victims, but also military aid to try to potentially stop the terrorism. Now, I think that's debatable whether or not those things are good. But the issue, I think, is, you know, how much do we see and how much does it make us care? Because the costs associated with not seeing this footage, right, is they're harder to see because they're future costs, right? They're people who will eventually become the victims of gun crime if we don't do something to potentially stop it.
All right. Well, we've been hearing from lots and lots of our Takeaway listeners on this issue. Matt, listen to this caller who let us know how he feels.
Hi, this is Chris from Millbrae, California. Show such video only to lawmakers and researchers, not to the general public. This will limit copycat actors and traumatize lawmakers.
Well, Matthew, there's one view. You can get your social change by making lawmakers face the video, maybe without the public downside.
Yeah, I mean, I think lawmakers absolutely should have to watch these videos. They volunteered to be representatives for people, and so they should avail themselves of all potential evidence for making policies. But I think the caller talks about another issue, which is copycatting and media coverage. And Sahara talked a little bit about this, but I think there's two questions that the media really needs to ask when an event like this happens. The first is this newsworthy? And I think this obviously was newsworthy. But once you've decided that the public needs to know about an issue like this, I think it's important to show and portray the full gravity of the situation and not withhold the evidence that could potentially inform the debates that are happening.
Well, here's another takeaway listener.
My name is Laura, and I'm calling from Basking Ridge. Let them see. Remembering Emmett Till and all those people who violently and needlessly die due to guns in America and other mentally disturbed activities, let them see. And just maybe things will change.
Sahara, Emmett Till's mother famously said, let them see, and demanded an open casket and photographs for the body of her son at his funeral. Let them see what they've done to him. Make them face it.
I can understand as a mother how you would come to that conclusion. What makes me nervous is all of this, I think, depends on your point of who you're identifying with when you're viewing a piece of footage like this. And while I think that it could inspire something like gun control, which has been talked about already today as an option, or maybe this would stimulate some more restrictions on firearms. The other possibility is that you have, you know, members of, for example, those who cherish their right to have guns, see a video like this and are more deeply ingrained in their philosophy of having a gun would have prevented this from happening if we would have had someone there sooner to stop this shooter.
You know, part of this question, it strikes me, Matt and Sahara, is almost moot. In most cases, for instance, the Las Vegas shooting, there were dozens, hundreds of iPhone videos of parts of that assault. So whether the FBI releases a video was almost moot. In this case, inside the church, there's only one video. You know, Matt, I want to say as a journalist, I will almost always come down on the side of the public's right to know. On the other hand, there's another reality. If this video gets on CNN and Fox, it's probably not going to be shown once or three times with warning and contextualization. It's going to be shown over and over and over and over.
Yes, and I think you're right about that. And I think one of the issues, though, is even if it is shown on CNN or Fox over and over and over again, they're not going to show the most graphic elements of the clip, which I think is really what people need to see. I think it's harder to glorify or think about or not think about an issue when it's smacking you right in the face and there are so many negative consequences associated with it. I think, you know, media violence in general, if we talk about media entertainment violence, it will be considered high-risk content because you often have these attractive perpetrators committing crimes and there's very little in terms of pain cues associated with the violence that's actually enacted. Whereas with these actual real footage, I think it's a very different experience than what most Americans are used to when they think about violence.
Matthew Grizzard is Assistant Professor of Communications at the University of Buffalo. And Sahara Byrne, thanks to you as well.
Thank you, Todd.
Sahara Byrne, Associate Professor of Media and Communications at Cornell. There is video of the carnage at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando in 2016. The 2011 attack outside of a Safeway in Tucson that killed 6 people and wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and 13 others is on video, too. But the public has never seen any of it. Pam Simon has seen video of Tucson. Pam was one of the victims on that day, and the FBI let her watch footage of her own shooting.
It was a long time before I was able to watch it and decided I needed to do that. And some of the survivors chose not to see it at all.
But should graphic video of mass shootings be released to everyone?
What purpose does it serve? It re-traumatizes the hundreds of thousands of people that have been involved in either a mass shooting or a personal situation. And it only sensationalizes as opposed to helping us move towards a real solution.
Well, one of the arguments that you heard earlier was that this type of raw graphic video might spur people into action. But Pam Simon says, no way.
If that would spur us to action, it would have spurred us to action long ago. I think in our society today, we are just so bombarded with violence that, quite frankly, the pictures of an anguished parent's face at a funeral is far more powerful than the video of people running for their lives in the Las Vegas shooting.
Mass shooting survivor Pam Simon, former staffer to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Well, what do you think? Should you be able to see footage of high-profile violent acts? Give us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can always tweet us at The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.